Okay. This talk will be held in English by Joost Portvliet, and the title is "You're Not as Clever as You Think: Social Skills for Geeks." I hand over
the virtual microphone. Exactly. Okay. So first, I'd like everybody to smile really sweet. Beautiful. So, this talk is all about you, as opposed to technology. But first, a little disclaimer. I'm really sorry if there is stuff that I tell you you don't like. I'm sorry, but reality can be quite a bitch. And, you know, you have to complain to Zeus, Thor, Poseidon, Yahweh, or the juju on the mountain. Or just be happy that evolution did the very best it could. And, you know, this is how it is. So I'll first spend a couple of words on myself. My name is indeed Joost Portvliet. I'm Dutch, but I live in Berlin, amongst all you Germans. Very great city to live in, I must say. I work for OwnCloud. OwnCloud is an open source community that tries to provide a safe home for all your data. Today we all put our data at Google and Facebook and Apple and all these other big companies. That makes it very easy to share with your family and your friends and the NSA and every other criminal that has access one way or another to those systems. OwnCloud you can run on your own server or at a server from a company that you trust, you know, maybe somebody in Chemnitz that runs, you know, servers. So you can go look them in the eye and say, okay, I trust you or not. It provides all the same services, or at least we work on providing all the same services, but you stay in control. I think it's a good thing, so if you are interested, check out owncloud.org. See if it's something for you too. Now, the talk. You are probably familiar with this one. I'm sure you've seen these here or there online. The color of square A is exactly the same color as square B. And I know it doesn't look like it, but if you would compare it, you will see that is really true. And this is another one of these funny visual things. The lines are horizontal, the blue ones, and the black ones are vertical, but it doesn't look that way. And this is not a GIF. Sorry. So these are generally called visual illusions. And that's a misnomer, as in really nonsense. There's nothing illusionary about them. They're just pictures. The problem is not the picture. The problem is all of you, or all of us. It's our brain. That's effectively having trouble dealing with it and making a mess out of it. And that's the confusing part. It seems to rotate, but it's not rotating. It seems to be horizontal, but it's not, etc. It's our brain. It's basically, well, you can call it lying to us. It's screwing up. Now, we're all familiar with this, and most of us are quite okay with the fact that normally your eyes do a decent job, but sometimes you see these pictures and you think, oh my God, that's screwing up. Yeah? Now, let's try and get to something, you know, where reality is a bit bitchy. Let's talk about the human brain, a little more in general. So this is a picture. And I, in advance, apologize to neurologists because I'm going to take a few liberties with reality just to get my point across. But generally speaking, the green part, and I mean the bigger green part, so the front and the back green part there on the back, that's your visual system. That's the part of your brain that you use to look at stuff. Now, from the moment you were born and you first opened your eyes, you've been looking at stuff all day long. Yeah, in the beginning, about 10 hours a day. Later, now about 16, and apparently when you're old, it'll be about 18 or 20. So you look at stuff all the time. And it's important because, you know, you need to get from A to B. And you have a whole part of your brain that has been either designed or evolved over a very long time, or 6,000 years, to do exactly this. Look at stuff. Figure out how the world works, what it looks like, so that you can navigate it. But as you've seen, it still screws up quite a bit. Now, I'm not going to talk about this at all other than what I've already done. I'm going to talk about a roughly equally big part, which is at the front. And it's doing something it is not designed for. Plus, you're not using it very often. And this is logical thinking. Psychologists estimate that people make a conscious, logically thought through decision somewhere between once a day to once a week. So you really do not use this very often. I mean, you think you do, but when you cross the street because the light goes green, this is not very thought through. This is largely automatic. It's a lot more automatic than you think. During my studies, I actually was involved in a piece of research where we tried to figure out part of the path towards making people do stuff without them knowing it. Now, you might know this thing called priming. It's pretty famous for some experiments with, I think it was Coca-Cola or other drinks, where they, were showing a movie, and then they would flash at like one frame of the 25, so you wouldn't really see it, images of cola. And then they would check whether people would drink more cola. And they did. This works. I mean, this is pretty well established. On the other hand, the effect's pretty weak. It lasts about 30 minutes, and then it's gone. And if you weren't thirsty at all, you're not going to drink Coca-Cola. And if you don't like Coca-Cola, you're not going to drink Coca-Cola. So it kind of works. It influences you a bit. But it's about as effective as advertisement, which is effective, but to a certain limit. Your brain is actually reasonably good at figuring out what is important information, what is less important. And if you have no other clue, you're just thirsty, you don't care what, it'll take the less important information. But if you really dislike a Coca-Cola, nothing's going to change. This is not how it works. But, there is more to making decisions than, something you've seen recently, whether you're aware of it or not. You have goals in life, and you make logical decisions. And there are all these very clever people that have been making all these incredible discoveries about the world. I mean, Newton is actually a good example, because Newton himself believed that most of his dabblings with gravity and stuff were not really significant compared to the incredible research he did in the occult. He was an alchemist, and he really believed that he did incredible research there, trying to find the Philosopher's Stone and the Elixir of Life. Why? I mean, we all consider this one of the brightest men in the last few hundred years, and I think he was. So how can it be that he was also looking for the Elixir of Life and thought that so significant? I mean, is this a lack of knowledge? Or is there something here that even smart people make weird mistakes? So let's talk about intelligence a little bit. Math. That's simple, right? If you throw a dice, this is an Egyptian dice, and then I don't mean the modern one, but one of the ancient Egyptians. So it's pretty old. They've been playing this game of dice for a very long time. Now, somebody here, tell me, what is the chance to throw a 6 on a die with 20 sides like this? 1 out of 20. Yeah, that's not so difficult, right? And if I roll again, how big is the chance that you throw a 6 again? The same, 1 out of 20. That's pretty obvious, right? So tell me, in what year did humanity figure this out? Babylonians, about 2000 before Christ. Who thinks that the Babylonians figured this out? Okay, Egyptians then. It's their stone. No? No hands. Okay. The Greeks. 1 hand, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Nope. Romans? A couple of hundred years after Christ? No. Middle Age, somewhere in the year 1000 maybe? No. I'll give the answer. 1564. That's when Italian figured it out. But only after his death was it published, so that took another 50 years. So we know this for about 400 years. That's pretty amazing for something as simple as that, right? Until then, they really thought that if you throw 6 twice in a row, the chance that you will throw a 6 again is lower than it would have been if you hadn't thrown any 6s at all. Yeah? So imagine going back in time, going to the year 1000. And they loved gambling. Who doesn't? You could probably win together the entire ancient world. Just throwing dice. Just don't be stupid about it. Yeah? And by the way, the Italian, Girolamo Cardano, he had a clue about the multiplication rule. You know, we know how it works, right? If you have a six-sided die and you want to throw two sixes, it's one out of six times one out of six. He kind of had an idea, but he didn't know exactly how it works. So that took another 100 years plus before they figured it out. So, but now it's, you know, 2016, we figured this one out. Then why does this exist? Somewhere, there's something not really right up there that this still is happening today. Yeah? Why? Well, same reason. You can't count the white dots. Go try. And this is still not a GIF. It's a JPEG file. You can see the compression errors. So we're very smart. We can figure out things that, you know, even a single individual couldn't begin to comprehend. I mean, if you look at the modern stuff, things they're looking at, you know, the research they're doing, I mean, it's really impressive. But at the same time, we still have Las Vegas, and we still make fundamental mistakes, and you can still have a couple of really smart people in the room, and somehow they can't agree on even simple things. So let me introduce the problem. Cognitive bias is the word. So these are fundamental, consistent biases. It's mistakes we make, and we make them always because of the way our brain works. Doesn't mean you can't work around it. We'll get to that later. But this is fundamental to who we are as human beings. And that's logical that we have some limitations. After all, again, we were either made or evolved in a place that was very different than what we've created here together. Yeah? I mean, just look at our close cousins and imagine them sitting together in a room like this, quiet, waiting for somebody who's standing in front. Yeah? I mean, monkeys. Can you imagine a room like this full and then they're just sitting quiet for an hour? Yeah, exactly. I mean, how would a plane flight, an intercontinental flight, look like if you put chimpanzees in it? Slightly different. So this is really how our brain works. And I find it funny. This is a definition from Wikipedia. Yeah, it's tendencies to think in a way that can lead to systematic deviations from, well, what you would consider sane or logical. And Wikipedia notes they are often studied in psychology and behavioral economics. I would say, what else would they be studying? Because this seems rather significant. Mistakes we make all the time. So I mentioned math, but obviously I was talking about statistics. So let's bring statistics and our brains a little closer to each other. Keys. Everybody loves them. So if you have a key ring and there are two keys on them that look very similar, you always put in the wrong one first, right? That's how it works. I mean, we all know that it has to be roughly 50-50, but it sure doesn't feel that way. So why? Why is that? This is because of the way our brain does statistics. It's slightly less accurate than a calculator, to put it mildly. And sadly, it's the same way it handles all math. Do you remember in primary school, when they taught you 1 times 1 is 1, 1 times 2 is 2, 2 times 2 is 4, all this stuff, right? If I say 8 times 8, how much is that? I mean, how do you know that? Memory. I mean, you don't calculate that. Your brain rarely calculates, because it's really, really bad at it. That's why we all love calculators on our phones. Yeah. It's even for simple things, you'll grab a calculator because you know instinctively that it's not that reliable at this. Now, statistics, that's all math. So when you think of the likelihood of something, you're asking your brain to do math. And your brain says, eh. It doesn't do math. So, memory. It does memory. Pretty okay. I mean, still not very reliable, but it kind of works. So, what does it do? Well, if you ask your brain, how often do I plug in the wrong key? it thinks, well, gosh, how many times do I remember that I plugged in the wrong one versus how many times I remember I plugged in the right one? That's where the problem is. Because you see, memory recall, or memory storage especially, recall too, the storage of memory is not exactly objective. It's not like a hard drive that takes every bit equal. It's more like, you know, some bits are more equal than other bits. And in this case, it's the things that irritate you, annoy you, make you angry, scared. That's obviously more important to your brain. So every time you put the key in wrong and you go like, it stores that in memory. And every time you plug it in right, you forget it before you even enter the house. And that's why you always think it goes wrong. Now, that's nice, but this is just one of the mistakes we make. I love this one, so I'll give you a second to read it. If you're not familiar with Xcassidy, then your life is not complete. So I think a lot of people are aware that we often think that a correlation means causality. When I studied psychology, we had a class on statistics. I mean, you kind of need that for psychology. And they gave us a fun example. They said, did you know that there is a strong relation between having a handbag and cancer? That was rather surprising to us, but it's really true. The thing is, this is what they call a spurious correlation. There's a third factor involved. And this factor is whether you're man, male, or female. Women are more likely to have both handbags and get cancer. And that's why there's a relationship between handbags and cancer. Certainly doesn't say anything about causality, obviously. So that's another bias that we have. Here's a third one. And I mean, this gets really closer to logic, and it's really weird. So I'm going to ask you to imagine you want to buy a television. And a TV, the one you want, I mean, you know which one you want, so you go to a store, and it's 3,000 euros. And there's a girl staying behind you in the line, and she says, look, you know, the store at the other side of the street, they sell the same TV for 2,995. Hands, who's going to cross the street for that? I see a couple of hands. All right, some of you might feel it coming, others might not. The second question is, the second thing you need to imagine yourself is, you're going to buy a pen. You suddenly had a brilliant idea, you need to write it down, you have paper but no pen. So you walk into a store, and they're selling a bloody expensive pen there. They ask 5 euros for it. Somebody behind you in line says, if you cross the street, it's only 2 euros. Who's going to cross the street? What's wrong with you? Maybe that's part of it. But even then, I don't think that's true for a lot of people because you get pens for free everywhere and we all use a computer. But nice try. And this is not logical. Why is this? Well, this is because, again, our brain makes decisions and these decisions are not really very logical. Most of the time we don't notice, just like you don't notice your eyes are screwing up so much. You get from A to B, and that's kind of what they were made for anyway, so it works. But in specific situations, when you get asked the right questions, the answers suddenly are really weird. And that's what you just saw. And there are a lot of them. I mean, there's this bias called the illusion of superiority. Yeah? Most people think they're smarter than average. Which, you know, statistically just doesn't work. Yeah. Another funny thing is overconfidence of a lot of people. So they asked a bunch of trivial questions. You know, it was in the US, so questions like, who's the current president of the United States? Pretty much everybody knows that. So they would then ask them to write down how confident they were of their answers. Now, there are questions you're mostly sure about or you're pretty sure about. There are also, of course, some questions that you think, oh, come on, I don't, you know, water is wet and grass is green. These are questions you don't do wrong. Interesting thing is, though, that one out of five questions that people said were they were 100% sure about, they got still wrong. And that's a lot, wouldn't you say? And we're bad at estimating how much we know about something. And this goes wrong in a lot of states. I'll come back to a bit of that later. By the way, another interesting thing, we're not always overconfident of our skills. If you give people a difficult task and then ask them how good they are compared to what they think is the average, they will actually make a mistake the other direction. They will think they're worse than average, just because they were struggling with the task. So this is not just that we're all overconfident, it's just that we're bad at estimating stuff, including stuff about ourselves. Now, the list of biases on Wikipedia is pretty long, and I'm sure there are more. And that's just the stuff that we've been discovering about people in the last 100 years or so. And there are really interesting ones. I mean, there's a well-traveled road effect. If you have traveled, literally physically traveled, over a road very frequently, and you're asked to estimate how long it is, you will think it's shorter the more often you've traveled over it. Which is rather funny, right? Some of this is really unpleasant too. One of the most interesting ones I find is the naive realism effect. And they define it, I'm going to read this because I find this hard to remember literally. The belief that we see reality as it really is, objectively and without bias, that the facts are plain for all to see, that rational people will agree with us, and that those who don't are uninformed, lazy, irrational, or biased. This is a bias. We think that the world is that way, and it's not. And I'm definitely talking to the choir here now, because I know a lot of people in tech believe that they are very rational, and that the world is logical, and can be determined by logic. Well, the world might be logical, and might be determined by logic, but not ours. There's really a big list, countless more. And some of these are impactful in our daily life. There's the Dunning-Kruger effect. Unskilled people in a certain area overestimate their knowledge of the area, while skilled people underestimate it. The result is often that if you're in a room with experts and, well, people who clearly are not, the loudest ones are the ones who don't know what they're talking about. We might know that effect. Most people think they do. So a lot of these effects can actually be used, can be played. Now, there is an effect called the endowment effect. People require more pay to give something up than they would have paid to acquire it. So once people have something, say something you gave to them, they will actually be willing to pay more not to lose it than they would have paid you if you were trying to sell it to them. Well, that's something you can use, right? And even more interesting and used all the time in supermarkets is called the decoy effect. If you have a choice between A and B that should not be influenced by item C, logically speaking, well, it is. So an example is, let's say you have two bottles of wine. You have a good wine, but it's expensive, and you have a bad wine, but it's cheap. Now, you could add a mediocre wine that's very, very expensive. There's no reason to buy it, nor should it influence your decision on A and B, the first two. But it does. If you do experiments, people will more likely buy the more expensive wine. They somehow feel that they get a better deal because there's a more expensive one. That's why in a lot of supermarkets you have products they don't expect to sell. And especially in the wine store, you will definitely see very expensive wines. They're just there to increase the average price of the wine you will buy. And it works. It really works very well. That's why they use it. So again, there are so many of these. I have a long list of them, but I'm going to skip that because there are so many funny ones that I'm just going to get to the scary stuff. So, how do you make a decision on what you think about something? Politics, next president, or political party to vote for? You think you do that based on facts. You think about it, and you discuss it with other people, and you get their opinions, and you come to a decision. Oh, shit. All right. The reality is, your opinion is for 90% defined by what your family and friends think, mostly friends. Way more than you think. Now, it's 2016. How do you get the opinion of your friends these days? Via these guys, right? That's a nice filter. I think this is something that should scare us a little bit. Because these companies that basically mediate our information flow have really a lot of influence over our decisions, way more than we realize. Gonna have to hurry a little bit. All of this is assuming you're normal, healthy, smart, have time to think about it, etc. And none of these biases go away if you sit down and think about them. They're normal and healthy. Now imagine if you go into the desert to meditate for a while, or you dance for a few hours. I mean, you can hallucinate the weirdest stuff, right? That is getting even worse. So the question a lot of you might now be wondering is, if he ever going to say something positive? Well, kind of. There have been a lot of studies done in these areas, and some of them you can compensate for. A lot of preconceptions like racism and sexism, if you're aware of it, that you have it, you can't get rid of it. But when you're not under stress and under pressure, you'll be able to compensate for it. And you'll do okay if you want to and if you try. Training can help. But a lot of others you can't really do anything about. They're just how we are and how our brain works. And the funny thing is, quite a few of them get worse when you're smarter. Seriously. There's a number of biases, especially when it comes to holding beliefs that are irrational, that are actually stronger in intelligent people. The thing is, these biases rely on our brains lying to ourselves. If you're smarter, your brain is also better at lying to you. It might sound silly, but you're trying to convince yourself that you're right, even when there's evidence that shows you're wrong. Well, the smarter you are, the longer you can keep it up. That's why people who believe in alien abductions, no offense people, but they're usually smarter than you might think. They're not dumb people. Why not? Because the dumb ones would already have given up. There's so much evidence against it. And this goes for a lot of things, you know, anti-inoculation thing, the whole vaccine conversations. It's not stupid of people to think vaccines don't work or give you, you know, all kinds of diseases. It's actually smart people who believe it because they are the ones who think that if they just look on the internet, they can actually find answers even though it's not true. And this is actually a problem in our society, as you can imagine from the examples I'm giving. And in IT, this is even worse because we think we treat everybody equal. So it's really hard to convince us of the fact that we don't, which is a fact. So what workarounds exist for these bugs in our brain? Now that's where the social skills come in. But we're pretty much out of time, aren't we? So, well, I'm going to have to talk about that next year, I suppose. Because this is the second half, and I don't have time for it anymore. So I think I'll just end it at this, and come back next year. Any questions? Yes.